pastor asked me to read Matthew 21:8, and I'm going, I almost had to go to Abby, because I could find 20, but I could not find 21:8, because I was flipping two pages at the same time. You know, I know it's there. So anyway, here we go, Pastor.
Thank you.
A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Thank you. I just saw just a couple of days ago on Facebook, it says they don't allow Bibles in school, but yet they'll allow Bibles in jail. And then it proceeds to go on and say, maybe if they allowed Bibles in school, we wouldn't need Bibles in jail. So I thought that was very well. Thank you. They brought that to my remembrance. Thank you.
May I tell a Jacqueline story?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
One day we're in Fellowship Hall, and I don't know why, I just looked, and I said, your hair is really pretty, really looks nice. And she turned on, yeah, I love what you've done with yours.
What a cute.
And I have noticed that because we're doing these little openings and you guys are starting to participate with the kids are getting to where they're more comfortable with you. And a good example of that is when Chase and Samara go right up and they sit right next to Allison and Don. And, you know, I mean, they could go sit with the other kids, but they chose to go sit with Don and Allison. And the thing is, they connect. You know, there's certain people that they connect to. I know I've got a couple of them that seeks out Paul, you know, looking for Paul. And I know it wasn't last Sunday, but the Sunday before, I was sitting here ministering to someone after service, so I wasn't in the fellowship hall, I was in here. And before I knew it, Chase comes walking, he goes, Pastor Bonnie, aren't you going to come out for fellowship? And I said, yeah, in a few minutes. But the thing is, they're connecting to us as adults, because we're the lighthouse for them. It's not this building that's the lighthouse. We are the lighthouse. We are the ones that minister to them. We need to reach out to them. Amen? Okay, so with that, again, we're talking about Palm Sunday. So on Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. What did he come in for? He came in for the Passover celebration. And he came in on a donkey as a king would. And that's how the crowd treated him when he arrived as a king. Now, this is the side note that the Lord put in me as I was reading that last night. Riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey symbolized the meaning. There was a symbolic meaning both ways, for the Romans and for the Jews. For the Jews, when someone, a Jewish person on a donkey came riding into Jerusalem, the symbolic reason for that would be the fact that they were humble. They came in on a donkey, okay? So a donkey, stubborn as they might be, they're still a humble, a humble animal. So it symbolizes humbleness and a king that's going to be peaceful. Now, the sad thing is, the Jewish people did not expect that. They expected when Jesus came into Jerusalem that he was going to be a warrior, that there was going to end up being a mighty, battle going on, That's how they saw it, because he, again, as I said, he came in riding on that donkey, and they were treating him as if he was the King of Kings, and rightfully so. He was that. He is that. But their perspective of how he is the King of Kings and how he came in to do it differently than what they expected were totally two different things. Whereas the Romans, when they had a battle, when they came in riding on a horse or a donkey. It was more to declare themselves the conquerors. Okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But Jesus accepted their praise. This is the thing I want you to understand. That Jesus, when he came in on that donkey, and they're waving the palm branches, and they're just Hosanna in the highest, he's receiving it. He's accepting that now, okay? But in Matthew 12, Jesus, he's healed the sick. Time and time again, he's healed the sick, but this is what he says to them after he's healed them. This is what he says. But he warned them not to reveal who he was. Okay? Then in Matthew 16, Peter declares that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of the living God, okay? But again, Jesus says to the disciples, he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now, we think about that. Why? Why all of a sudden now, when he comes into Jerusalem, he's receiving all the praise that he is the King of Kings, but yet in Matthew 12 and 16, he's telling us, hush, mum's the word. Don't do that. Well, first off, there's only 3 short years of his earthly ministry. He's got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things that he's got to get done, and he doesn't know the time. He doesn't know exact day and time, no more than he knows when, you know, his return's going to be. For us, this, you know, the second coming. But he knew that it wasn't going to be a long period of time that he would be on the earth the first time, okay? So the thing is, he had a message of hope. He had a message. He wanted to heal people. He had a lot of prophecy that he had to fulfill in that 3-year period. Okay? And you say, well, you know, and I'm going to get into doing a teaching on the prophecies and how, actually, there's 351 prophecies in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled in a 3-year period. 351 prophecies. Example of that would be Jesus' birth and lineage, and that he was born in Bethlehem. That came out of the book of Micah, which is in the Old Testament. The virgin birth, that came out of the Old Testament in Isaiah. And the descendants of David, that came out of the book of 2 Samuel. Again, this is before Jesus came. And because, he, you know, just by him being born, he fulfilled 3 prophecies just like that. Okay? Okay, the next thing, while he was his earthly ministry, preaching the good news to the poor, that's out of Micah. The Messiah, did miracles, that's out of the book of Isaiah. Teaching the parables, out of the book of Psalms. And then, again, as I was were just reading, entering into Jerusalem out of Zechariah. So, the last one, prophecies of Jesus' suffering, betrayal, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. That's out of the books of Isaiah and Psalms and Zechariah. And again, there are 350 Old Testament prophecies that came to pass when Jesus was here for 3 years. So, publicly declaring his identity as the Messiah before the appointed time, what would have happened? Well, if that would have taken place, chances are that he would have been arrested by the Romans, and he would have been killed by the Romans. But that wasn't God's plan. That was not God's, what God had planned to happen. Jesus wanted the people, also because he was sacrificed, Jesus wanted them to focus on the fact that he sacrificed, he gave of himself, up himself, shed his blood, because it was his sacrificial blood that cleanses us. So he wanted us not to stay so focused on the miracles as he did for us to be focused on the fact that it was his death and his resurrection. That's what mattered the most, okay? But now here he is. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. But Jesus issued no such warning when he came into Jerusalem. He wanted everyone to know that he was the Messiah and the King that they've been waiting for. Now, again, Jesus knew and understood that the people that were excited about him coming in to Jerusalem was misguided. What they thought was totally misguided. And they thought when he's coming in, he was going to set them free from Rome and their taxes. Okay, that was in their head. Okay, the crowds weren't praising him because he came in to save the world from God's punishment of their sins. They didn't have a clue. That wasn't even a thing that came to their heads. Okay, but they were believing that as he came in, again, they were going to set them free and that they were going to no longer be under the Roman control and their taxes anymore. So the people lined the streets with palm branches to welcome Jesus with open arms. They didn't actually know that his mission was infinitely and eternally more important. He was not just thinking outside the box. He was looking into the future, not just for that generation, but for all generations, even the generations before him. He was canceling out their debt, even those that came before him. He was canceling out their debt. What God does that? Our God. Our God does that. But the thing is, the Jewish people, they were waiting for a military fight. That was what they envisioned. When he came in, even though he looked docile, humble, they still had a vision of a mighty fight going on. Okay? But days later, their narrow-minded expectation didn't get met. It was unmet. So what happened? Instead of, you know, a crowd of excitement, they were saying, we want him dead. Cries of death for Jesus. So their hosannas turned into crucify him, crucify him. The same people who hailed him as the hero denounced him as a fraud. Now think about this. Isn't it interesting that the Romans, who were the ones who had more to lose than anyone, when he came in on a donkey, they didn't even raise an eyebrow. They weren't interested. It didn't bother them at all. And yet, they were the ones that would have had the most to lose if Jesus was, as the Jewish people said, the Messiah. They would have been the ones that had all to lose. Okay? But again, it even says, I didn't realize this, but it says in the Gospels that the Roman officials and the soldiers, when Jesus entered, there's nothing in Scripture that says they had anything to do with that. They didn't come in and monitor it. They didn't come in and, you know, and tell him they didn't want him to. They didn't want that to happen. They ignored it. It was like it was nothing. And think about it. The Roman military army, they were stationed there to do what? To make sure that there was not going to be any rebellion, to prevent rebellion. But again, they didn't see this crowd that gathered to greet Jesus. They didn't see any harm in that. They didn't see any harm. They were like, they don't appear to be dangerous rebels to me. So they didn't even pay any attention to it. As far as Rome was concerned, the event was just a bunch of unnamed peasants with broken branches bringing in a local rabbi into the city. That's probably how they saw it. That's why it wasn't a big deal to them. So this is why hardly that the type of movement that maybe we would have expected the Romans to have, they didn't have it because they didn't think it was important. Or so they thought. Okay? The Jewish religious leaders, however, saw the enormous threat. Why? Because the Jewish people knew their scripture. They knew the scripture. They knew the laws of Moses. How many of them, as young kids, they would have to memorize big portions of scripture. So they knew all about the prophecies. They knew that this was going to happen. So that's why the religious leaders were getting all bent out of shape. Because here was Jesus doing what Zechariah 9:9 says. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey colt. They knew that prophecy. They knew that was a prophecy. And I mean, how much more black and white can you get than that, than Jesus getting on a donkey, coming into Jerusalem, humble, yet victorious? They knew what he was doing. He was saying, without saying it, I am the Messiah. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to act on it. Because that's what that scripture is saying. That the Messiah is going to come in riding on a donkey colt. And that's what he did. And they knew that. So from the very beginning of his early ministry, the religious leaders had to try to get rid of him, time and time again. But because his work had not been completed, they were helpless to do anything. And the reason for that is because he was gaining popularity with the people. His popularity with the crowd, as long as he had the people's support, the leaders actually couldn't do anything. Their hands were tied. So they bided their time, and they worked to undermine him. And because their plan aligned with God's plan, they succeeded. They succeeded. What they didn't, you know, when they put him on the cross, they thought that they that it was finished. They thought that, hey, our plan worked out. What they didn't realize, it was actually God's plan, and they were just following it. And because of their plan that aligned with God, they were successful. The hero of Palm Sunday, that's how they saw him when he came in. They saw Jesus as the hero. But by Friday, he was public enemy number one. Jesus knew what was coming, yet he was willing to face rejection and so much more. And we know that as we read scripture and we've seen movie after movie, Passion, you know, what's another one that's out there besides the Passion? Anybody else can think of The Greatest Story Ever Told? Was that in that? That was a part of that as well. But we've seen visions of how Christ was crucified. We've understood that when they got done whipping him, that you couldn't even recognize him. And they beat his face. They pulled his whiskers. They did so many things that you couldn't. He was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. So in closing today, I want to outline the Holy Week for you. Today is the first day of Holy Week. Sunday, Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem, greeted by crowds waving palm branches. Holy Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple, driving out merchants. We talked about that in Bible study this week, on how when the Jewish people would come to the temple to do a sacrifice, the leaders of that temple would look at their sacrifice and they would find one little itty-bitty flaw and they say, nope, that one won't do. Can't use that one. We're not going to let you use that animal as a sacrifice. You'll have to buy one of ours. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to buy one of ours because that sacrifice is not permissible. We won't allow it. So they were making money on people that were coming, you know, from long distances with their sacrifice, and yet they couldn't use that sacrifice because it didn't meet the religious leader's standards. So they ended up having to buy an animal from within the temple there. Or another thing that happened, those that came the long distance didn't want to haul a sacrifice, and they thought, well, we'll get a sacrifice while we're there. Well, they go to the money changers, because what they've got are coins that have got Caesar on them, and the religious leader says, we're not touching that. We don't want, it would be defiling God if we touch that coin because it's got Caesar's face on it. We're not touching that. Now, if you want to take that coin and push it over here, we'll be more than gladly to give some shackles to take its place, and we can touch those. But by the way, your 50 Caesars will only give you maybe 35 shackles. You see what I'm saying? They were making money hands over fist. So why did Jesus go in? He went in because they were making his house of God into a merchant's place. Okay. The next one, Holy Wednesday or Good Wednesday, Judah betrays Jesus. On Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday, Jesus celebrates the Last Supper with his disciples and washes their feet. Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. Holy Saturday, Jesus is buried in a tomb. And next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, Jesus, we will celebrate that he has risen from the dead. Not that he's going to, but he has risen from the dead. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father God, on Palm Sunday, Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was acclaimed to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by those that surrounded him, waving their palm branches and their garments in his path. Father, grant that we may also praise Jesus as our Lord, as our King, and follow him with the confidence that only you can give us now and forever. Help us, Father, as we go through this holy week, to stop and take time and to thank each and every day, to thank God, to thank you for your Son who endured this holy week that we are mourning, celebrating. Let it be a part of our day that we reflect, Lord, reflect on all that transpired in that week, so that we can appreciate more and more your gift of your Son to us, so that we can be with you and stand in righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.